Absolute Philosopher 905. I, as absolute, as an absolute philosopher, dwell in the science of absolute. I, as a philosopher, dwell in the science of absolute. This is Dr. Harrell Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing and the University of Philosophy here in Campbell, California, bringing you the absolute philosopher. I, as absolute philosopher, dwell in the science of absolute. What in the world is the science of absolute? The science of absolute is the science of, and science in the first place means knowledge. Science of absolute means the knowledge of absolute, the knowledge of what absolute consists of. Now we have said absolute is God. We have said absolute is the allness. We said absolute is the purity and the goodness and the truth and whatever we want to name it. We've given absolute many wonderful words to represent it, but does it really represent it? I, as an absolute philosopher, dwell in the science of absolute. The science of absolute is the knowledge of absolute and the wisdom of absolute. Let's have one point of reference here. Knowledge of absolute is that absolute is allness. Absolute is isness. Absolute is the nothingness of the universe and the allness. Absolute is oneness. Absolute is the universality of it. Absolute is the allness everywhere, present, omniscient, omnipotent, all-knowingness, and yet it is not. Absolute is not those things because there's nothing to be aware of, knowledgeable of. There's nothing to be present in, for it is the presence. It is there. There is nothing to have power over because it is everything over which it would have power. And to have power means that we control it. Well, we do control it, that's true. But we control it not by choosing to control it, but we control it because it is our nature. Just as we might illustrate this by saying, we do not choose to control our breathing. We just breathe naturally. And then along come some of these Hindus and other powerful, meaningful people who decide they're going to control their breathing. Now, why do you want to control your breathing? You want to control your breathing so that you can get the best out of it. You want to breathe deeply. You want to breathe shallow. You want to breathe pure air. You want to breathe significant for your lungs and for your bloodstream so that the oxygen can get into your bloodstream and the carbon dioxide can be released out into the air that you're breathing and out breathing and in breathing. You see, those are all physiological functions that really have no bearing upon anything, except that is how we think that we are created. We think we are made. We think that's our reality. Whereas that is merely the illusion of ourselves. Our reality is that we are the allness. Our reality is that we are the isness. We are that which exists, and yet we are the nothingness. We are the chaos, and we are the order. We are all things, all aspects. And you say, well, what's so exciting about talking about that stuff? What's so exciting about talking about something which is beyond our everyday use? Well, it is not beyond our everyday use. It is something that we use every moment of our life. When I say I am saying I am the isness. When I am saying that I am the creator of my world, I say I am the allness. When I say I am that I am, then I'm saying that the oneness, the uniqueness, the allness, the perfection, the isness, all that I am. Now, if or since I am that, why does it appear that I do not express it? Because of one little area, and this little area is a powerful little area. This area is that we are the allness, and that's our reality. And when we concentrate on any little point in the allness, we are that isness, and we are not aware of the allness. Even though we are the allness, we are not aware of it as we concentrate on a particular idea like the is or the isness of any one thing. There are monies in the world. There are coins, there are ways, mediums of exchange, varied and wonderful. Some paper, some metal, some other things, some, and now, really, what is our wonderful new coin of the realm? The credit card. The credit card where we just have this piece of plastic with our name on it and a strip on the back that tells all about our credit self, and then we can go and buy and do things and not have any pennies, any dollars, any nickels. We don't have to carry any bags of flour or any donkeys to exchange. We just have our credit card. Our credit card is a combination of all these things. Now, if you really stop and think about it, the credit card is quite an object. It is an object that is an object that defines the media of trade. How do you trade for one thing for another? You have a dozen eggs and I want a dozen eggs. And I don't have a chicken. And so I go to you and I say, I would like a dozen eggs. And you say, okay, a dozen eggs is equal to, let's say, 3 loaves of bread. Or a dozen eggs is equal to a pound of sugar, or whatever you choose to call it. Or a dozen eggs costs $1.85 or $2.85, whatever the current value is. And now, how are you going to pay for that dozen eggs? Are you going to pay for it with sugar or bread? Are you going to pay for it with money? Are you going to pay for it with paper? Are you going to pay for it with plastic, as the plastic credit cards are called? How are you going to pay for it? So you pay for it with your credit card. So small a bill with a credit card? Sure. It doesn't matter whether the bill is big or small. It is what you do. Okay, now, you're paying for it. Now, when you pay for it, you can take it away. You can eat it. You can throw it away. You can give it away. You can take it home, use it later. You can do a number of things. But what is it that you're doing? You are in full possession of the product. You are in full possession of the isness. And as you concentrate on the isness, you do not concentrate on the chicken who laid the egg or the ranch where the egg was laid. You don't concentrate on the concept of egg laying out of the infinite consciousness, that egg laying was done as a particular purpose in antiquity or in the beginning. You don't concentrate on you're going to make this into an omelet, you're going to make this into pancakes, you're going to make this into a cake, you're going to make it into fried eggs for breakfast or boiled eggs or whatever kind of eggs you're going to make. You have all those thoughts going through your mind, and yet you don't have those thoughts going through your mind. Your thought that goes through your mind is only the one thought that you have, but you have this infinite variety that are there. Now, describing it in these human terms makes it doesn't sound too great, too large, but that's the essence of it. When we are the allness, we are the universal allness, and we concentrate on any one aspect of our universal allness, then we are that one aspect of universal allness, and we're expressing it, we're living it, we're being it, but we also are the allness. We are an aspect, and we are the allness. Well, now, how can you be an aspect and the allness? Because the allness is made up of the aspect, and the aspect is one as the allness. You see, we have such an interesting way of looking at things. We have such an interesting complexion in our thoughts and our mind and our being. And because of that, we limit ourselves to how we can express ourselves in beautiful, dynamic ways. So, I, as a philosopher, dwell in the science of absolute. And I just have the time of my life. How about you? Do you dwell in the science of absolute? Do you dwell in the allness, in the isness? Do you dwell in the nowness? Do you dwell in the principle? Where do you dwell? Well, where we dwell is indicated by the kind of life we lead. If we lead a life that is so magical and fulfilled, with every possible thing being done right now, we're doing pretty good. If we live in a life where everything is manifest right now according to our thought, that's pretty good too. If we live in a life where we live in our bodies that are absolutely perfect, spirit, mind, and body, fantastic in every glorious way, being its ideal expression, we're doing pretty good. Can these things be done? Oh, yes. What does it take to do them? It takes a presence and a consciousness. It takes an awareness. Are you ready for such an awareness? Are you ready for such a beingness? Are you ready to enjoy such a magical condition? If you are, then you just say, I, as a philosopher, dwell in the science of absolute. Naturally, the science of absolute, to define it, would step into many different areas, and many would define it differently as a subtle first definition. But I defined it for myself in these words to be the simplest, most responsible aspect that I could have, and it is mine, and it is here, and it is now, and it is wonderful. Life's great, isn't it? Have a wonderful day, have a wonderful, thoughtful time being the absolute philosopher, knowing that I, as a philosopher, dwell in the science of absolute. I love you, I love you, I love you.